The American government shutdown is now tarting into its fourth week. It's already the third longest in American history and shows no sign of abating anytime soon. The main reason is because you have the two sides dug in systematically on either and opposite sides. They are fundamentally opposed to even having negotiations. And the issue that at least is on the table as being the key difference maker and the thing that's preventing the two sides from having any kind of an agreement to get to a budget has to do with the Affordable Care Act, the American healthcare system, and some subsidies that are set to run out at the end of this year. Some deadlines come as early as next month. The Republicans have said, we're not going to give in on that we're not going to stop the process of getting the government open. We want a clean continuing resolution, as they say, and then we'll figure out the ACA part later. You have the Democrats say no, because you won't negotiate in good faith. So we want it to go now. We want to have that negotiated first, and then we'll open up the government and then we'll do all that. So that's the gist of what they're saying out loud. But when you take a look at what's happening behind the scenes, it looks like there's a darker issue involved here. And it's not the ACA probably is more like a tool than it is an actual stumbling block itself. And as is always the case on this, the big bill payers are those who are the most vulnerable, the least wealthy in our society, those who have no political power and apparently no voice. The United States is supposed to be a democracy where a representative, where we vote people in at the federal level, at the Congress level, at the House of Representatives, the U.S. Senate, and of course then at the White House, our representatives. People who will go to Washington to speak for us. But it appears that our voices have been silenced, and no one seems to care much about what is actually important to us, but the parties themselves have taken front and center. Let me show you why. So I don't normally do a show on Sunday mornings, but I got up this morning and was just kind of doing a perusal of the news before I was going to head to church, and I saw this on Trump's Truth Social. This is just earlier this morning, where he posted this video that said, this will be the longest government shutdown ever, in big, bold red letters. Senator Kennedy torches Dems for blackmailing America. That's how President Trump is categorizing this. And I had not seen that video. It turns out that's from an interview that Kennedy did on Forbes, I believe it was, this past Wednesday. So I went to take a look at that video to find out what did he say and what leads him to this conclusion, and is there any thing we can possibly pull out of there that can give us any optimism and any hope for this, to avoid this long shutdown and have a possibility to get it over with. But more importantly, at least right now, is why does he say that this is going to be the long one? What is the real sticking point? When you take a look at what he said, and then you take the fact that President Trump this morning posted it on his Truth Social, means that he's in agreement with this. But there's more to it than what appears. And that's one of the reasons I'm so grateful that we have this show, and one of the reasons that I hope you're watching it, because we do a deep dive on this subject. And unlike the major media who just puts out soundbites and just talks about what happened today or what happened this in a couple of days, we actually give you the backstory. And when you see the backstory and when you see what else has happened and what else has been said on things directly related to this, it'll give you a different perspective about where we are. So first of all, let's take a look at what Kennedy himself said in this video here. And the first thing here, he was just asked, do you think that this was actually a long interview? Many things were discussed, but when it got around to the government shutdown, the reporter asked him, do you think that at some point President Trump is going to have to be called in to act as a mediator to bring this to an end? And here's what he said. Okay. You know what? That's a fair question there. You know what I'd really like to see is people get together and just say, let's fix it. And I'm wondering, did I actually get that on there? You know what? I think I may have missed that, and I'm going to have to do it better to you. Here we go. Let's get back onto this again. I think that I just gave you a silence treatment here because I didn't do it. This is what happens when I try to do this without Gary, I think. But we're going to get it fixed here. So here again is Senator Kennedy, this time for real.
But I don't know what the president would have to trade today. I don't know what we had to trade today. My Democratic friends keep saying, well, we want you to automatically renew, apparently forever, the subsidies to the Affordable Care Act. But even if we renew the subsidies, it's not going to fix the problems in the Affordable Care Act. Any increases that people see in November are a result of the fact that the Affordable Care Act, I mean, it just hasn't worked. When it was passed, we were told that it would make health insurance affordable. It obviously hasn't. It would make it more accessible. It hasn't. You have to go on an exchange that created by the government. You can't just go into the private market. And it's been very expensive. And to me, the whole thing's broken. And I would like to see the Congress, the Senate, sit down and say, subsidies or no subsidies, what can we do since this is costing people so much money?
Okay, fair enough. That's a great idea. You know, what I'd like to see is this: just sit down and get this done. More on that in just a second. That's really more important than it may seem at the time, because when you just look at the video as it is, and when you saw his interview when it was first posted, you would think that sounds kind of reasonable. Man, why don't you guys just get together and give this a talk here? And, you know, the Republicans have the House, they have the Senate, they have the White House. So they're probably in a position to do this. But those darn Democrats, they're going to have to, you know, get together and do their part as well. And how is about we get together instead of waiting for a government shutdown? That seems reasonable on the surface. Some of the other things he said, though, are less so. He said, listen, you know, I think that the claim was that the system is broken. First of all, he said the claim was that it was going to make it more accessible. He said, obviously, it hasn't. He said it was going to make it more affordable. Obviously, it hasn't. He said it's made it more expensive. But was it? Because there were somewhere around 20 million people who got health care when the ACA went into effect that didn't have it before. That kind of seems like that expanded the capability to me. I don't know. 20 million people seems like a reasonable number that didn't have it before that do have it now. And now then with these subsidies that are going to go into a place, if you want to claim that the ACA is more expensive, I don't know, than what? More expensive than than when they had no coverage before? Because it kind of seems like, again, it made it possible for them to have it. But now then, to make it affordable, they have, over time, various houses and senates and White Houses that have been since Obama first put this into play, to keep it effective, they've had these subsidies in there. Otherwise, and these subsidies are now set to expire. When they were negotiated initially, the Congresses that did that put this date on there with the expectation that in the interim time, that they would be continuing to be negotiated to come up with a better deal, or have negotiated to come up with another set of subsidies on the other side of that, so that the American people would continue to have quality health care that they could afford. That didn't happen. So whether Republican, whether Democrat, bottom line is it didn't happen here. And, you know, you say that the whole thing is broken. Okay, fair enough. Let's be honest here. The Affordable Care Act does have flaws in it. It has from the beginning. There's lots of things that were not perfect in it. I don't think that President Obama even said anything different. And I don't think he ever thought it was perfect, but he thought it was better than 20 million people not having coverage. And I assure you, all 20 million of those who cares what their political affiliation is, were really glad to have health care that they didn't. I mean, who among us would not want to have health care and isn't fearful even of the health care that they have, you know, paying the premiums, that's always a big issue. And, you know, and how big are your, how much you have to pay, you know, your co-pays and all that. And what are the deductibles? And, you know, those are some issues. And you always have to try to find, you know, how much can you afford in premiums to get that deductible down to where you can afford it, or do you have it so high? And then if you have a big problem, how are you going to pay that, et cetera? So it's always a difficult challenge, and it's always a point of fear because you never know when you're going to need it. That's the whole point of having effective health care coverage. So now then, these premiums are set to expire at the end of the year. And so that means that without action, millions of Americans, and I think the number is, I heard one is 2 million. There are 24 million people who get their health care in these so-called government clearinghouses, et cetera. So there's about 24 million people that are involved with the ACA. Other people get it through their jobs and have health care through other means. But 24 million people do get it through these things here. And about 2 million people are going to have their subsidies somewhere close to, I'm sorry, that their healthcare prices with the loss of the subsidies will come close to doubling what they were, which is going to be catastrophic for millions of people. And they're not, many of them won't be able to afford it. And so either it's going to gouge their finances to where they're going to have to cut back in other places just to survive, or they're going to outright lose it. And then their literal lives could be at risk if they can't afford life-saving treatments or medications or doctor visits, et cetera. Kind of a big deal to a lot of Americans here. So if, Senator Kennedy, you oppose it that the system is broken, fair enough, then let's get together to get it to fixed. Your comment at the end there. Well, why don't we just get together? Great idea. Why aren't you getting together today, Sunday morning? Why aren't you guys saying, let's pull out all the stops? Let's talk right now. But instead, you have the Democratic leader, the Republican leadership says, no, until we get the government open, we can't even talk. We can't even start the negotiations. This is what you need to understand. This is the paper-thin excuse that's being proffered up, because evidence is starting to pile up that the Republicans don't want the government to be open. I don't have all the reasons to why. I've been trying to figure this out and ask knowledgeable people. A lot of people are coming up with speculations, but it's not really clear. I can't see yet what the benefit is and what the gain is for the Republican Party just to keep the thing shut down, especially on the ACA, which is going to hurt some people. It seems like that wouldn't be a good play heading into the 2026, and yet that does appear to be the case. Now, you may say, especially if you're a Republican, you say that's an unfair characterization. That is not what the Republicans are doing. They have principles, and they say, no, we need to get the government open because that's the most important thing, and then we'll negotiate. The Democrats say that they don't trust the Republicans, and why do you think that might be? Let's take a look at something here. I told you at the outset that there's a darker edge to this that is more troubling to what the Republicans are doing. And if I say it appears that the Republicans don't want the government open up, there's some justification for that from the Republicans themselves. So let's take a look at another video here. This one is from 2017. And this one is going to be by President Donald Trump. And he is saying here, I believe it's February 2017. So just barely a month into his first term. And he was asked about the Affordable Care Act and then, you know, Obamacare, as he loved to always call it. And he's talking about what, and he was asked what he's going to do about it and listen to what he claims he's going to do about it. But then look at what he says. Well, I could do something different. See if this sounds familiar as he talked.
The tax cut is going to be major. It's going to be simple. And the whole tax plan is wonderful. But I can't do it until we do health care, because we have to know what the health care is going to cost. And statutorily, that's the way it is. Obamacare has failed. I say to the Republicans, if you really want to do politically something good, don't do anything. Sit back for a period of 2 years. Because 17 is going to be a disaster for Obamacare if we don't do something. Let it be a disaster, because we can blame that on the Dems that are in our room, and we can blame that on the Democrats and President Obama. Let it implode, and then let it implode in 18 even worse. Don't do anything. And they will come begging for us to do something.
So you see right there, that's what he said he should do. Then he ends up saying, but of course we're not going to do that. No, because that would be bad. But that's what we could do. And now then, what are we doing here? You see that the government is shut down. And of course, the Republicans want to blame it all on the Democrats. Say it's a Democratic shutdown and all that kind of stuff, because they claim that they vote to keep the government closed, which of course is a gross violation of the truth. It's completely not even close to being accurate. The Democrats are screaming from the rooftops. It's all about the ACA subsidies. There's some other things they would like to have, but that's their one non-negotiable. That's the one thing that they have to have in order to get the government back open, because they are claiming that it's for the people and they don't want to lose their health care. Since this was a Democratic signature event under the Obama, you can certainly see where they want that. And more on the Democrats in a minute, because they certainly are not without blame in this situation as well. But that is their position here. But the Republicans don't seem to have a position on that. They claim they want to get to talk about the ACA, but you, even in this environment, you don't hear them talking much about actually what they would do about it. And again, you may recall that in 2024, that President Trump said, listen, he was asked during the debate Kamala Harris. They asked about the ACA, and they pointed out, you know, as I recall back in 2018, so about a year after that first clip I just showed you, President Trump was being interviewed, and he said, yeah, I'm going to come up with a plan. We're working on one right now, and we're going to have a really good alternative to the ACA. We've got a really great thing that our government's working on. And they said, okay, that was 2018. Now it's 2024. Where's the plan? And he says, well, I mean, we have the outlines of a plan. That's as much, because they kept pressing him on that. And I think it was Kristen Welker. She said, well, what is the plan? So there isn't one. He said, hey, well, we got the outlines of one. Okay, so that was, I think it was October 2024. Now here we are today, October 2025. Where is your plan? We've had this since 2017. So the fact that from 2016 in the election, the campaign, to in office in 2017, where he claimed at the time, statutorily, I have to come up with the health care plan first, and then we'll do the tax cuts. He claimed, I'm statutorily required to do that. Well, you know for sure that tax plan went through, and no health care plan was followed up with that. That they tried, remember, infamously, they tried to use legislation to get rid of the ACA and to dump it, and they were prevented from doing so for various reasons. So they've been trying to kill it, but they have never proffered a replacement for it. And so now here we are in the government shutdown. And there's not even an attempt to have a negotiation. And you have the Republicans only blocking the government to keep pressure on the Democrats. And one has to go back to that comment from President Trump in 2017. Let's just let it rot. He said that actually on multiple occasions. Until, as he said there, they come begging for us. So all the evidence, especially given that President Trump himself just last night posted on his own Truth Social, this highlighting that the government is going to be shut down, you know, probably for the longest time. This will be the longest government shutdown ever. He posted that. So in combination with what he said in 2017 and what is going on right now, sounds pretty much like this is actually the plan to keep the pressure on the Democrats politically. And now then the issue is, what are you going to do now? So let's go back to this conversation here, because let's see when he claimed that about the headline there about this could be the longest in history. Let's see what he said and why he said it.
We shut down a long time. Right now, I think this will be the longest shutdown in the history of ever. And I don't say that happily. I don't say that proudly. I'm just saying that realistically.
It goes past Thanksgiving.
I do. I just don't see what's going to get us out of it. Because what my Democratic colleagues are asking for, you know this, it's just not realistic.
It's just not realistic, he says. So what is it that's not realistic? But see, what you hear in that when he says it's just not realistic, that means that I've already heard what they say they want the subsidies to go on further. And by the way, he mischaracterized it intentionally earlier. He says, well, they want these, I suppose, to go on forever. They never said that they want it to go on forever. They just don't want them to expire here. That's what negotiations are for. But when you won't even talk to the other side, and then you put a roadblock at this and says, until you capitulate to us politically and agree with no guarantees to open the government and then just trust us that we'll talk to you then, when since 2017 we've been promising to have this stuff and we have never come forward, not even with a plan, folks, not even with a plan, not even with the outlines of a plan. Nothing has ever been put out there. This is the fundamentals of what we're going to negotiate with. So the Democrats don't even know what that is because none has been proffered so far. So where's the trust that the Democratic side would have on the Republican side that they're going to do what they say in this short window? Kennedy himself said, this is not something you're going to get done in a weekend. Well, yeah, no kidding. You've had 7 years to get it done and you have chosen not to do so. Chosen not to do so. And now you've heard President Trump, and this is not the only time he said that video, by the way. He said oftentimes we should just let this thing rot and then they'll come begging us. And now it looks like he's got this in place. It appears to be what the plan actually is. And like I said, Democrats are not without blame either, because they have chosen to die on this hill here. They said, no, this is where we're going to die on a hill, and we are going to put some pressure of our own, or at least they're going to try to, until we get what we want here, which is an extension of the ACA here, because they're thinking we care about the people. That's the plan anyway, or that's the claim anyway. They care about the people. But here's the thing. At some point, you've got to be careful that you don't literally play into hands of your political opponents, because the government is shut down. So it's already affecting, as I said, over 700,000 government workers, people whose it's no fault, any of this is their fault. They just want to go to work and do their job every day, serving our country, doing the things that have impact and services for all Americans, all 330-something million of us. And now then they're prevented from doing so, and they're not getting paid in the process. Now, I've seen some people say, oh, don't worry about that. They'll get back pay. Really? Number one, that's not guaranteed. The government itself has said that's a question. Now they don't know that that's going to happen, even though it has in the past. Suddenly, that's actually not clear. Maybe they won't get back paid. But even if they do, and I certainly hope that they do, they won't get paid on their next paycheck. So when it comes up, and I want to say Wednesday, I think is this coming Wednesday, is the first full pay. They've already had some diminished paychecks already. The next full one, now they won't get. So until this is resolved, they don't get any money. The food bills keep coming in. The rent is going to continue to be due. Mortgages, apartments, car payments, food, grocery bills. How are you going to pay for any of this stuff? Daycare, health care premiums? I mean, how are they going to pay for any of this? Why is there so little care among both the Republicans and the Democrats about the plight of 700,000 people who are trying to work to serve us all? And now that didn't even talk about the military. Now, they came up with an illegal roundabout to pay most of the active duty military. They didn't pay the active duty National Guard, by the way. They didn't get their last paycheck. So coming up on the 31st of October, what are the veterans going to do? Because you've exhausted that one pathway that you've moved money around completely and contrary to U.S. law, which the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, didn't bat an eyelash at, knowing that it's illegal, knowing that it violates congressional law. And he said, yeah, they do it. I mean, is anybody going to sue the president to get the military paid? So he thinks that's another leverage point against the Democrats and in opposition to the rule of law, because we have the power, so we'll do whatever the hell we want to do, and I dare you to do something different. Well, okay, that worked then. And there wasn't any blowback. So that's another one that the Republicans won. But what's going to happen on the 31st or the 15th of November? You just heard Kennedy there. This probably goes past Thanksgiving at the earliest. And who knows when it'll go, because President Trump said they should let it go for a couple of years. Let the other side rot until they come begging. So there's no expectation this is going to be even done after Thanksgiving. But now then there's two more paychecks. Where are those going to come from for the military? How long are you going to ask air traffic controllers to keep going to work with no money? Dude, they can't do it. At some point, people are going to have to stop coming to work for no pay because they got bills that are due. This is unsustainable. And I didn't hear the slightest concern in Senator Kennedy's voice whatsoever about all of the cost and the difficulties and the pain and the anxiety that they're inflicting upon fellow Americans, people like you and me. See, he don't have to worry about it. That sucker gets all his pay. Mike Johnson gets all his pay, even though he doesn't even have the House in session, so nobody's doing their job at all, not even pretending to do one, but they're getting full pay. I mean, actively, not in any back pay later. I'm talking right now, they're getting paid for doing nothing, while 700,000 other American servants are getting nada, nothing. That's unconscionable. We pay these people to be the representatives of us in Washington for our needs. And now then, they have all left us behind. Republicans and Democrats, they are dying on this political hill. And now then, they're both doing whatever they can to extract maximum political advantage for themselves, disadvantage for their opposition. And both sides are already talking. I've seen it on both sides and both the left and right media. They're projecting, how is this going to play out in the 2026 midterms? Can the Democrats use this as leverage against the Republicans to make them look like they're uncaring and all this kind of stuff? And can the Republicans use it as, look, the Democrats are so obstructionist. They don't even care about you. Both sides are using the same deal. They don't care about you. And they're highlighting all this pain that I'm talking about here. And the only reason they're doing it, and they want the pain. You got to understand that. Many people on both sides of this want the pain because then they'll use it as a tool and a rock to throw at the other side to try and get or expand political power. And they don't care about you, folks. They don't care about us. They don't care about those 700,000 Americans who are going to struggle just to eat. They don't care about what they're going to do when their mortgages and their rents come overdue, how the American military is going to get paid. They don't actually care about any of us. They only care about what they can use from our pain. And I just find that egregious. And it disgusts me, and it makes me sick and tired of this political system. I told you in a previous episode that this is evidence that the two-party system has reached entropy, and it is no longer possible and capable of solving our problems. At some point, this will come to an end. At some point, one of them, the pain point will get high enough, and they'll be reading the polls, and at some point, one of them goes, all right, well, now then it's a losing deal, and we're going to have to, you know, just mark this up as a loss, and the thing will come to an end, and then whichever side ends up winning will crow that they compel the other side to do it, and then the losing side, I can guarantee you, will do everything in its power to plot their revenge, and they'll be looking for the next way to stick it to the other side, whoever it turns out to be. And you, my fellow American, will be the bill payer for that too, because it's the only leverage they have. They don't want to battle with the battle of ideas and to do the best thing that's necessary and find what minimal compromise, even if they have to hold their nose for some of it, at least that there could be some sort of win-win where each side gets something that it wants, but the American people get taken care of. They're not willing to do that anymore. And the minute that they can find some kind of leverage because of your pain that will give them a political advantage, they're going to take it. And that's just the truth of it. It pains me to say that. It's egregious that our system has so become that dysfunctional that now the coin of the realm is, how can my political party benefit at the expense of your political party? That's where we are. And this is time for, I mean, if the idea of a third party has always been dismissed because, well, there's so many negatives and all the flaws of the two-party system. It's what we got. It's what we've had for, you know, over a century, well into the 1800s. That's just kind of what we got. We just got to work within the system here. No more. The system is, you know who it's working for? The elite, the wealthy elite on both sides of this, because they're not suffering healthcare. They don't need healthcare subsidies. And as long as whoever's in power keeps on helping the super wealthy elite, they don't care. They're fine with it, and they'll continue to make leverage off of it. And even though they may, what one side's going to politically lose here, they'll just plot their revenge here, but they're not going to be harmed by it. But we will continue to be. If ever, I'm hoping anyone who's listening to this, I'm hoping that a lot of people, somebody's going to say, you know what, it's time for a third political party. And I know a lot of you who may be watching this, or at least I hope it gets into the hands of people who've been thinking about this. This is your time. This is when you need to do something. It's going to take people. It's going to take organization, and it's going to take money too. That's just the way it is. If I had it, I would be doing it. I'm to have no wealth of my own. I don't know any wealthy people because I'm like most of you. I'm just a regular person. So I can't do these kinds of things, but there are those who can. But one of the things we can do as just regular people is look around and find somebody who's talking about this heading into the 2026. You know, the best thing you can do, America, the best thing you can do is don't vote for any Republican. Don't vote for any Democrat. Find anybody in the world else who's running except for an R or a D and vote for that person. And then tell everybody that you know to do the same thing. Because those parties, whatever you belong to, folks, they don't give a crap about you. It's time to recognize that. Neither party cares about the people. They only care about themselves and harming the other party. And it's time for us to find good Americans. And there are, thank God, there are plenty of good Americans out there. People who do care about each other, who do care about helping the country, who do want to see government function. They exist. We need to elevate those people and support them. That's one of the things that we can do. So all is not lost, but you need to be aware. And one of the reasons why we say we're unintimidated and uncompromised to bring you the truth, because you need to understand and see that there's much more at play here than just what's on the surface and what you're being spoon-fed by a lot of the mainstream folks. You have some power, and we're going to have to figure out ways to actually get it used, or there's going to be some trouble coming up soon. But all is not lost, because the power of the people does still exist, and we've seen it play out before, and I think that there's a possibility of us seeing it play out again. Look forward to that day. Thanks, folks, and we'll look forward to seeing you Monday on the Daniel Davis Deep Dive.